Blog Talk Radio.
You know I love you, right? Love you too. Ain't nobody got what we got.
No, no. Wanna be with my baby.
Yes. It's head up from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
Everyone, this is J.L. Belvin, and you are listening to Reality and Relationships, so it must be Thursday night, 8 p.m. So, let's see if my lovely co-host and wife is on the line. Tip, you there?
I am on the line, and you know I must be tired this evening because I called in, and I'm sitting listening to the music, waiting for us to start, you know, pause. And I hear you yelling. I'm wondering, what is he yelling about? I forget to put myself into the queue so I can be able to talk to everybody. So I'm tired.
Are you together now?
I think I have it together now.
All right. Good evening, everyone. You are listening to Reality Relationships. That is my lovely, tired, and drugged out wife. She's had a long day, so she's forgetting the basics, but it's all right. Reality Relationships is a show where we try to cover relationships from every angle. Tiff and I do our best to bring an insight to all the things that we talk about. Every week we try to choose a different type of relationship. We don't just deal with male-female, female-female, male-male, all that type of stuff. We deal with all types of relationships, your work relationships, your relationships with the bus driver, if that's the case. Just social interaction. We try to discuss that from various different angles, and we try to bring our flavor to it, because what we're trying to do is build stronger unions in various forms, because we need it right now. Right now in this country, there's a divide in relationships, and people just are not dealing with each other in ways that are really positive. And this is what we do. Well, like we do every week. Honey, why don't you tell us what your week is like, if you're awake?
Actually, I can't wait to get to the weekend, because like I said, I'm really, really tired. This past weekend, though, I was volunteering for Operation Prom, and we had the director of the Queens chapter on the show last week, Candace Hudson. Shout out to Candace. I was able to volunteer with her organization, and I actually met the founder of the Operation Prom, which is an organization that provides evening gowns to young ladies who would not be able to afford them and possibly not attend their own proms after graduating high school. So I was actually there, and it was so much fun, I have to say. I had a great time. I met some awesome young ladies. And, of course, as a plus-size pageant queen, I was in charge of helping our plus-size high school seniors find evening gowns. And it was challenging, because it's funny that as a teenager, I was not plus size. I was small. I've been cheerleading for about 10 years. So to watch the insecurities that some of these young ladies have, it was so heartfelt that I wanted to be able to put a dress on every one of them and send them home happy. Some of them had in their minds what they wanted to wear to the prom, but we all know that when you're receiving donations, it's not always going to be what you possibly would have chosen for yourself. And I have one story in particular that occurred on Saturday. A young lady came in. She was a little bit taller than me. I'm 5'6", so she had to be about 5'9", and she was probably size 18, 20, and she was looking at the dresses, and there were some very nice dresses there, and she didn't see what she wanted, and it was one dress in a bag, like a sea blue color, and sequins, chiffon, really, really nice. And the founder of the organization came to me. She said, "Tiffany, this young lady has been looking for dresses for a little bit of time now, and she seems a little bit disappointed. See if you can get her to try this dress on." So I went to her and said, "You know, this is a brand new dress. This is actually one of the dresses that were donated, which was never worn. Maybe you would like to try this on." She said, "No, I don't want to try it on." And she looked around for about maybe a good half hour, and then she actually found a dress for her sister. So the founder saw her looking at the dress, and she said, "Oh, do you want to try that on?" She said, "No, I actually want to take this home for my sister, because she wasn't able to come today." And the founder said to her, "Well, here's what I'll do. I'll let you take this dress home to your sister, but you have to try the dress that was in the bag." Finally, she went into the dressing room, and she tried the dress on. When she came out, she looked amazing. She looked beautiful in it. And everybody clapped, and we had a bell that we would ring anytime someone found a dress that they liked. They started ringing the bell. And do you know, she took that dress home along with the dress that she picked out for her sister, because she realized that she did look nice in it. So I was so happy for her. And just to see all of the young ladies, we even had some crying, because it's difficult. And I know from when I was in high school and looking for dresses for special events, you know that sometimes the money just wasn't there for the nicer dresses. And evening gowns, a nice one, can be anywhere up to a few hundred dollars. So for to have this event was amazing. I really enjoyed myself.
Nice, nice, nice. Anything else going on for the week?
Other than work? No, not really. I'm looking forward to the weekend because I'm so exhausted. I need to get some rest.
I feel you. Well, I went to the moon. No, I'm just joking. I felt I had to say something after that dramatic story you just told. No, I didn't go to the moon. No, my week was entertaining. Young men's group that I meet with on Saturday. Shout out to my man Rhino, one of the members of Classic Walk Down, the bowling organization that I'm a part of. Rhino came in, and he's a big guy. He's a former wrestler, and he does something else. So I'm not going to give away all his credentials. He likes to keep certain things secret. But he came in to speak to the young men, and it was incredible, the conversation that they had. And I'm enjoying sitting with my young men every week because I have a mentors group. We meet every Saturday from 10 to 12, and they're called the Young Kings. And my attempt each week is to change their mindsets about the way they see themselves, the way they see the community, the way they see school, and really just trying to dig at the negatives that a lot of young men bring to the table when they come into school. So Rhino addressed a lot of things, but one of the things that came up in the conversation, we talked about snitching, and I know snitching is something that has been talked about in all African-American communities, because folks have made this a social norm. And so we got into the conversation about snitching, and one of the young men said, you know, the reason why you don't snitch, because it's just as dangerous as doing the crime. And I said, excuse me? He said, well, B, you know, if you do the crime, you could get hurt and go to jail. But if you snitch, you could get hurt and have things done to you. So they're both just as bad. So I said, how did we let things get to such a degree that doing the right thing is as dangerous as doing the wrong thing? And one of the kids said, that's just life in the hood, man, what we're supposed to do. And, you know, I explained to him, that's why we have this group. And then Rhino chimed in and he said, but when do we take back being brave? When did we start being scared? Because he said to him, the term snitch means you're scared and that you've given up, because right, snitches are people who get paid to inform on others, so they're basically rats. He said, so if you're going to take it that way, he said, when do we get scared to be like rats in our own community where we're going to let things just happen? We need to be brave enough to change our communities. And he challenged the young men to start looking at things differently and be strong enough and bold enough to make changes. But it's scary because these kids do live in environments where doing the right thing can get you hurt. And this is why I teach in those environments, as you know. But it's the hope to make some type of difference. And I don't know. It's still early. This is only our fifth, sixth week. And I normally start this program in November and run the whole school year. But because of circumstances and this being a new school, I didn't get a chance to get started till January. So my fingers are crossed that I can make some type of difference between now and June when the weather gets hot. I know I'm going to lose some of the young men because they're going to want to go hang out on Saturdays, but I'm going to keep praying. Other than that, I've been working hard on getting Wordplay 2, the book that we produced, out to the masses, out to the poets themselves so they can go out and do what they got to do. And anybody listening should know that Tiff and I own our own publishing company. And we just produced book number 13, Wordplay 2, The Foundation of Soul, available on Braven Publishing, www.bravenpublishing.com. Yes, Shameless Plug Thursday. But I'm really excited about this book because the book has no profanity. And 13 poets from 10 different states came together to lay down some outstanding poems. And with Poetry Month coming up in April, I really believe that folks should support this project because I just think poetry is one of those genres that we as African Americans, Caribbean Americans, used to have a really strong hold on, and we've kind of given that up and we've kind of just settled for a lot of the slam type poems and the Deaf Poetry Jam type poetry. And the poetry covers a gamut of so many things. And so I am attempting to reach out to all 10 states that the poets come from and work on setting up signings and setting up events for them, if I can, with the limited resources that I have. But we're going to see what happens. And other than that, you know, I'm excited because Friday is the last day of school before the Easter break, which will give me an opportunity to do the Braven Publishing thing full time, as well as to get some rest, because I can't lie. I am a little tired. It has been a long school year. But this is what I do. This is what I love. So I'm excited. So yeah. With that, darling, what's going on in the news? Because I know we have a powerful subject to discuss tonight. And
yes.
It's an interesting
yes.
one. I'm not going to jump the gun on that. So let's talk about what's been going on in the news this week. I got a feeling you're going to give me some type of sad story that you normally do each week. So let me gear up.
Ever since you mentioned that I always bring sad news on the show, I have tried very hard to find some positive news. And
why would you change?
Enlightening news. Because I don't always want to be sad.
You always come up with like, you know, I got to grab some tissue. I'm like, so the whole family?
Well, I told you, the news is sensationalized. So when you're looking for positive news, sometimes it's really hard to find it. And our topic later on this evening, I'm not going to give that away yet, but it's coming from a lot of things within the headlines lately. But the news that I'm going to talk about right now is, I don't know if you saw the video online, but a 15-year-old in California was basically, someone broke into her house, three teenagers broke into her house. She was home alone, and she called 911, of course, and she heard her alarm go off in the house, and she ran into her parents' walk-in closet in their bedroom to hide while these teenagers came in to rob the house. And she was talking to the operator. The operator was talking to her and trying to keep her calm. But she was really good because when the three teenagers that broke into the house came into her mother's bedroom, her parents' bedroom, the operator could hear their voices. So she told her to stop talking. And she said, just be aware that the police now have the house surrounded. So in order to respond to her, she would actually tap on the phone so that the operator knew that she could hear what she was saying. And basically the three teenagers, once they tried to steal everything they could, they were leaving the house, and the police officers were already outside and arrested them. So she was heralded as a hero. Her mom was really proud of her that she was able to keep calm under those circumstances. I can't even imagine someone breaking into my house now, and I'm almost 40 years old. So at 15, for her to be able to keep her wits about her and know to, one, get to a safe place and, you know, called 911 and just endure that. It was amazing. So I'm glad that she was safe and they were able to apprehend the people that broke into her house. Would you consider that good news?
I mean, I would have liked it better if she got like a bat or like got one of the steak knives or poked a couple. No, I'm just joking. That's great news. She didn't get hurt and she was able to do a deed that got the kids arrested. I'm just glad she wasn't injured. And you know, I hate when I hear it about being teenagers because I really believe these kids can be turned around if we give them something to do, man. Resources are being chopped so much that kids get into things sometimes just for the sake of it. They're not even trying to take things.
Right.
They're trying to do something. But when you go in somebody's house, you ask them for it. You can go in there and catch three hot ones, and that's all she wrote. You know, you climb through somebody's window going into somebody's house and you're not supposed to be there. I don't feel for you if something happened to you. Because you come up in here and I haven't been going through that. And you ain't getting away that easy. You might get away, but you're going to be in such shock. It was like a bear grabbed me.
You are so silly.
It's going to be a problem. But, you know, and I feel bad because right now we have so much going on with teenagers in this country that is leading to death.
Mm-hmm.
I get every time I hear about teenagers, you know, venturing into situations like that because you get the wrong homeowner, there's three body bags they carting out that house.
And, you know, speaking of, there was a situation, I don't have the details, but heard it in passing, that there was a teenager, a 16-year-old, that he accidentally, he snuck out the house to go to a party. He became intoxicated, and on his way home, he accidentally climbed into the window of the wrong house, and unfortunately, the homeowner there did have a gun, and the young man lost his life.
Wow.
So, the homeowner there thought someone was breaking in, of course. And you think about the things that teenagers do, that they don't think about the consequences. Yeah, you went out to the party and had a good time, but now you come home intoxicated. You shouldn't have been drinking anyway because you're underage. You go into the wrong house and you lose your life, and now your family has to bury you. It's so sad to even think about that. Our teenagers definitely have to start making wiser and wiser choices, definitely.
Well, it feels sad, but again, why were you intoxicated underage? And who allowed you to partake in the libations when you're not of age? See, these are the choices that we talk about on Saturday. Once you put it in your body, whatever outcome happens, it's still on you. But if you're not in control and you give that up, don't cry. Don't complain. Mm-hmm. Wake up and you in jail and some hard man breathing on your neck. Y'all take it for whatever it's worth. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Or you in a hospital and you can't explain why you stabbed up, poked up, shot up, whatever. The idea is once you partake in something that you know is wrong, whatever that outcome, whatever comes, you got to hold that. Now, hopefully you'll get a second chance from it and you can go on from it. As adults, we've all made those mistakes. I think this is why we press so hard on our kids to try to make smart decisions, and we know that they're going to make stupid decisions. We just hope that they're not decisions that cost their lives, like you said. So I get sad. Like I said, I'm sad when I read everything that's going on around the country, because it's our young folks are in crisis. And I don't believe in that it's just young parents. I believe our communities are failing our young folks simply because they're not investing resources into the young folks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what programs are consistent anymore around New York City and around the country itself. I don't see the consistent programs. There's still some in place, national and local, but not like it was before. It just seems like it's harder for kids to find things to do and places to do it at. But yet
is
PAL
still around?
Huh?
Is PAL still around? Because I know when we were growing up, we had PAL.
No, they're still around, and they're still around. There's still locations around the city that the kids can go and have that time. I'm just saying, I see billionaires. I'm not even going to say millionaires. I see billionaires who waste tons of money that could go into environments in New York and Philly and Chicago and Detroit and other places to help urban folks. But we can't force anybody to do anything with their money. Obama tried that. It doesn't work. I see millionaires. I see athletes who come from these environments, who you would think would come back and do a little bit in those environments, a little bit more. I don't see it. And I just have a problem with the fact that these kids just don't seem to have enough. And we talk about getting them out of the house, stopping them from playing video games and so forth and so on, but to go where? You can't go to the park, you might get shot. There's no rec centers anymore. There's no programs. There's no taking them up to the mountains and let them have fun now, because we got to worry about somebody raping them or touching them or whatever else, and we don't have transportation anymore. But yet, every song talks about a guy in a G5 plane or whatever it is. Something's wrong. And things have gotten flip-flopped to such a degree, our kids are suffering.
I definitely agree.
So, what else? Anything else in the news?
Yes, I thought you would find this one funny.
All right, here we go.
A scorned wife purchased a billboard sign in North Carolina, and the billboard sign actually has her husband's name, who she's writing to. It says, Michael, GPS tracker, $250, Nikon camera with zoom lens, $1,600. Catching my lying husband and buying this billboard with our investment account, priceless. Tell Jessica you're moving in, Jennifer. So basically,
I don't find that funny.
It is funny. Why you
don't find
it funny? Why you don't
I don't find that funny.
Of course, you wouldn't find it funny, but it's definitely funny. But
How come every time you find some type of cheating reference or something, you think I'm going to find it funny? I don't know that dude anymore.
You're absolutely right. That's the reason why you should find it funny. The fact that the wife would take revenge in this way, and it helped her feel better.
Cut the dude off and save that bread, man. Why would you waste that bread for something that you probably already knew he was doing?
Well, you know, according to the article, it says that they're not sure if it's a marketing ploy, because they found in the past where a similar billboard was posted that the people behind it were a part of some type of marketing ploy for their company. But in the past, there was a woman who actually purchased billboard signs throughout her state after her boyfriend broke up with her. She was the mistress, and he decided not to leave his wife, and he broke up with the mistress. And the mistress, to get back at him, posted details about their relationship on several billboards, and they said she spent over $250,000. Can you imagine that? And I think I agree with you. $250,000, I would buy a house, take a long trip. But if she has $250,000 to spend on billboards, I guess she can afford it.
Well, see, and this is what I'm talking about. Cash with all this money, wasting it on foolishness, while kids is out in the street basically spinning around in circles because they ain't got no way to play.
Yes.
See, this is the wasteful foolishness. And, you know, we're going to talk some more about kids that are out of control. Why don't we share what tonight's main topic is going to be and what we're going to start discussing for the next hour and a half when we come back after the break. So why don't you do that, and then I'll give all the information so folks can know how to reach us in the chat room and the Facebook group and all the stuff like that. So why don't you tell them what the main topic of tonight is?
The main topic of tonight is about the advancement in technology coupled with our sexually charged teens. And basically, we're asking, is your son or daughter America's next top child porn star? Because there have been several newsworthy topics about teens and sexting and posting pornographic videos, posting pornographic pictures, and our young people don't really understand the ramifications. And the reason why I wanted to talk about this is because, one, there's so many issues in the news around this subject, and also you as an educator in the school system have dealt with circumstances regarding some of your students and having it reported to the police and having investigations. So I thought this is something that we really needed to discuss. And
I almost got in trouble just trying to help the young lady, which we'll discuss when we come back. But I almost got myself in trouble just trying to do the right thing.
Yeah, I'm hoping that a lot of parents tune in, because this is a topic that we have discussed privately. We've also posted it in our Facebook pages to tell parents it's time to start taking control of the technology in your home. Because if you don't, it can be a detriment to your child for the rest of their lives. And it's very important. So
if you're listening right now, if you're listening right now, go tell a friend that you know has teenage children to tune in. Tell them they can call in at 646-200-3838. And if they want to talk to the host to get in to talk to Tiffany and I, just feel free to press number one. If you're on the line right now, press number one, and the host will let us know that you have a question if you want to come on and ask a question. Also, you already know the site, you're listening to it, but if you want the chat room information, I'm not going to give that long, ridiculous number today, but what you can do is you can go to the Facebook page. You have to excuse my voice, a little messed up tonight. GQ Powers Radio, but if you go to GQ, general question on Facebook, you can actually like the page and you can get in on the conversation of some of the behind-the-scenes conversation. The chat room information is there, or you can come by my Facebook page, which is Author K.L. Belvin, and you can get the chat room information and password if you want to get into the chat room and speak to me directly. I think I'm manning the chat room. Tip is in the chat room tonight, too, so we're manning the chat rooms, too. There's someone manning the board on the GQ Palace site, too. So there's enough ways that you can get in to speak to us. And so feel free. Please tell a parent, because when we come back after these two songs, we're going to get into this. And, yes, I'm going to explain. I've dealt with this firsthand, the sexting and videos with teenagers. And as I said, as a New York City educator, I almost lost my license simply trying to help a young lady who had been victimized. But luckily that didn't happen, and we'll get into that, as well as we'll talk about the cases that have happened around the country of sexually charged teens and our technology. And it is getting worse, because as the technology gets faster, as the technology increases, if our parental discretion does not increase with the technology, we are going to lose hundreds of thousands of children. We'll be back in two songs. This is Reality and Relationship. This is Thursday night. That is my lovely wife and host, Tiffany Braxton Belvin, and I am KL Belvin. Be back in two songs.
Ladies and gentlemen, and all the lovers around the world, I want to talk about the one I love. I know a lot of times we forget how they take good care of you.
up, Playboy? Nah, man, you can't keep calling me with this shit, man. Now, she told you what she wanted. All you had to do was give it to her. Nah, I'm gonna give you some free game. Listen.
All she wanted was a little time. You said never. Begged that you would stay home. You said never. Maybe we can wine and dine before we bump and grind. You said never. She said you said never. Can we go to the park and swing? You said never. How about to the bar for a drink? You say never. Let's take a trip together wherever. But she said you said never. You dropped your dime, so I picked it up. Cause she was woe. Find us, keep us, lose us, weep us. What? You dropped your dime, so I picked it up. Cause she was woe. Find us, keep us.
Oh, yeah.
Shopping sprees at Gucci, whatever. Taking trips to Miami, it's on me. I say whatever, ask her, I say whatever. Can we play in sand while holding hands, whatever. Go to the room and boom, boom, whatever. You and me, so never, and never. It's always whatever, ask her, I say whatever. I would've made a mine forever. With women, dog, you can't take forever. You took too long, I came along, and now she's gonna be mine forever. If I said forever, I'm gonna cop a ring and wife her forever. I'm gonna make it so she's happy forever. With me, don't you never, you never. It's always whatever, that's why we're forever.
Welcome back to Reality and Relationships. Oh, man, can I get a round of applause for the DJ? Never fails us. I mean, sometimes I get caught up in listening to the music. I forget I got to come back on the air, man. Great choices. And we are on GQ Palace Radio, and we always have to give a shout-out to them for allowing Tiff and I to do what we do each week. So GQ Palace Radio, and they have shows on every day except for Saturday. So make sure that you tune in. Same station, same various times. So make sure you come by and take a look and see which time fits your schedules. But definitely support the other shows that are going on. And we know we have a lot of callers that are listening in. If you have a question that you want to ask, feel free to hit press number one, and the host will take your information and let us know that you have, that you want to get on to talk about the subject at hand. So, honey, you there?
Yes, I am.
All right. Looking at this subject at hand, let me start off with my story, and then we can talk about the young men And I think it was at Ohio, right?
Well, we have a few different stories that we're going to talk about, but one of the major stories is the one in Ohio with the two football players, yes.
Okay. My thing with this is a few years ago, I was a dean in a high school in Brooklyn. I'm not going to say the name. And a young lady was involved in some of the same similar situations we're going to talk about in Ohio. She was out getting high, getting drunk with older boys. She was 15 at the time. The boys were all 17 or 18 or older. And she was caught on video performing sexual acts. Had no idea that she was doing it. She was intoxicated. And so the video started sweeping their way around school. As a dean, my job is to deal with the things that go on inside the school as well as outside the school. So my first thing was to try to shut down the passing of this video to everyone who had pretty much seen it, and trying to explain to the kids that they are passing child pornography back and forth and that they could be arrested for it. So once I could kind of get them to understand, I knew there was no way I was going to be able to stop it completely because I don't have that type of technology, but I also knew that if the kids didn't stop and the police decided to start doing the background checks and doing the IP searches, and a lot of kids have no idea that IP addresses are your fingerprint on the internet. And so when you send something, receive something, it has an IP address, an IP address going, IP address coming back. So we got it settled down to a degree. The young lady was very despondent, of course, and now the police were getting involved. And I remember for myself, the hardest thing in the world was when we had to contact her mother to explain what was going on. She was definitely heartbroken. But it's what I remember so clearly about that time was that when we called the father, I'm not going to give that type of information to a father who's not in the home. I'm not going to give him that type of information over the phone. Man to man, and as a man who is separated, who has been separated from his ex-wife, and so my kids live with my ex-wife, and I'm where I am and where they are, I want certain information up front. I don't want it over the phone. So when the father came in, he thought it was just more of the same thing, his daughter getting in trouble. So we had the officer there, and so when we're sitting down in the meeting and we're getting ready to talk about what's going on, the daughter's there. I'm looking at the daughter's disposition. I'm looking at the mother's disposition. I'm looking at this room, and something doesn't feel right because I'm looking at the father, and I'm thinking everyone in this room knows except for him. I'm like, we can't tell him like this. So I asked him, could he come out into the hallway, and me and the officer went out into the hallway. And when I explained to him why he was here, he had no idea. And he was crushed. It was one of the first times I actually almost seen a man almost faint. I never actually seen somebody faint. And so the officer kind of held him up a little bit. And he said, are you telling me my daughter was on film? And then we explained what she was doing. He was livid. He was ready to storm back into the room and just beat his daughter senseless. But the officer and I had to explain to him, one, that's not what she needs right now. She's already torn between you two, meaning the mother and him, and not being a part of her life the way they could have been. To go in there now is not going to help the situation. We got to find a way, one, to fix and heal her, as well as close this door so we can get the police the information so we can bring these young men to justice so they can be held accountable for their actions. So the father goes back in the room, of course. He's trying to settle down, and you could just see it, and, you know, a couple tears came out of his eyes. And I think the daughter, seeing her father cry, I can tell it was the first time she'd ever seen her father cry. But I'm looking at the mother, and you can see that the two of them, without ever saying a word, realized how much they messed up. Now, folks listening, if you have teenage children, I have been teaching 17 years. 15 of those years were spent in the New York City public school system. I have dealt with this age group pretty much I have my whole career, the age groups between 10, 11 to 17 and 18. That's a vast amount of ages. I've seen the young ones, I've seen the old ones. Children slip through the cracks when parents stop communicating. Now, where's the technology playing all this? Well, here we go. When video can be taken, the point of action, and now be instantly sent to websites, instantly. Now, because of the speed of which processors are in phones, whole videos can be sent to social networks instantly. And your children have to understand that one moment of indiscretion can make them something that they don't want to be, that may never disappear. Now, in this particular young lady's case, they put it on one particular site. We were able to contact the site, have the site remove it, shut it down. But I knew, because I know how young boys think, they weren't getting rid of that video. They were going to save it, pass it back and forth. They just wasn't going to put it on the internet. So when the police came into the building, they're doing the investigation. Now, here's where I made my mistake. I wanted to have the young men apprehended and stuff like that. So they started to go after the kids in my school who had passed the video back and forth to themselves. They wanted me to give them those names. And I almost made that mistake and gave them no name. And then I caught myself and I was like, wait a minute, I'm not turning over my kids. When I've already spoke to them and spoke to their parents and explained to them what the outcome was. And so that was one thing. But the major thing was they were having problems locating the video, and these young men were going to basically walk away scot-free. So I spoke to the officer, and the officer said, the problem that we're having is we do not have the video, and so we have nothing to link the young men to the young lady other than just her word against theirs. So I connected with some of my kids out on the street, and I gave the kids a separate email to send me the video to one email address, and then I took the video from there and sent it to myself. I didn't look at it. I didn't want to see it. I'd already been told enough about it. So when I sent it to the officers, they thanked me for it. But when everything came down to the case, the pressure that was applied on me to tell them where I got the video, they threatened to take my license if I didn't tell them where I got the video from, and then even tried to threaten me with passing on child pornography, even though I have an email from the officer thanking me for getting what he requested from me. And I sent it to him directly. But in the end, the Department of Education checked out my record. They advised me of, you know, the situation, and basically I spoke to the district attorney in Brooklyn, and they said they could clearly see that there was no malice or nothing done on my part, that there was no video being sent one way or the other on my part, that I did exactly what I was ordered, and that the detectives were actually the ones that were in question because I was doing their job for them. And the young men were arrested and went to jail. But I do know of a teacher in Jersey who took the video, had it sent to him. It was on his email, but he didn't delete it. And a parent complained. And when they did the search of his house and his email, found the video, and he lost his job and lost his license because they said he was entertaining child pornography in his email in his house, because they asked him why he didn't delete it. And he said he had hundreds of emails that he hadn't deleted. So he doesn't check it that frequently, his regular email, and he was just explaining that he was holding on to it because he was going to use it in case it had to come up in a suspension hearing, and they said no, he was supposed to check it in as if it was drugs. And he lost his license and he lost his job.
Wow.
So the thing for me with these subjects and dealing with technology and kids drinking, we already know that our kids don't make the smartest choices. We know this. They're teenagers,
right.
And none of us made smart choices when we were teenagers. So anybody listening, first of all, don't try to come down on your kids harsh just for the sake of coming down them harsh, because you also have to take into account you made silly and stupid decisions yourself. What you have to do is make it a time of learning, or before they get out there, explain to them the different things that go on out there, the things that can happen. And we have that conversation about alcohol, have that conversation about marijuana, have that conversation about mollies. And if you don't understand anything that I'm talking about, if you don't know what a molly is, well, then you need to start getting onto the internet and starting to do the research of the things that your child could possibly be involved in. Because let's be real, we have rappers singing about it, making songs about it daily.
But you know,
that's
what the problem is also. I believe that there are too many parents And I can recall when I was a teenager saying, I don't have to worry about my child. And just to give a dose of reality to everyone listening, I read an article about a study that was done in Texas. And that study found that 1 in 4 Texas teenagers engaged in sexting. Now, for those who don't really understand what sexting is, it's not flirting or sharing images where you're partially clothed. It's anywhere from complete nudity, showing genitals, video, pictures. You talk about 1 in 4 teenagers. So if we took a poll of New York, can you imagine what that would look like for our teenagers? Because we know our teenagers try to be as grown as possible at a very young age. So all the parents are thinking, not my child. If you have 4 children around you right now, one of those children has sent a sexting message to someone.
Hold on 1 second. We have a caller on the line. Dave, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How we doing, Dave? How's it going this evening?
Man, brother, I'm blessed to be here. I'm blessed to have GQ Pilots Radio Show. I'm blessed to have you and your wife to, kind of learn the people where they're lost and hopefully they can get found. And I definitely would like to just address the issue as far as what you're saying as far as the teens and the situation that we're in today. First and foremost, I have to say all praises be to God Almighty, because without Him, nothing else will be possible. And apart from that, I also have to address the issue that the reason that there's so much havoc in the world right now is because we've all fallen apart from the Word, and we're indulging the world rather than the Word. And I'll tell you what, parents, it's hard to parent today because a lot of parents are having their rights taken away from them. We have a lot of good parents, a lot of people that want to do the right thing, but they just can't do the right thing because their rights are being taken away by the court, the system, and everything else.
Dave, let me stop you a second. When you say their rights are being taken away, how are their rights being taken away?
Because I'm from the old school. I'm from the school where if I had passed the older person when I was younger and I didn't speak, they would slap me upside the head. And when they see my mother, they would tell my mother. My mother would slap me upside the head. And when I get home, my mother would tell my father, and he would slap me upside my head. You know.
And
I'm from that school. You know, I'm from the school where I respected my elders.
I figured that simply because, and I know I hear a lot of folks say that, but your rights haven't been taken away because you can still discipline your child. Now, unfortunately, some of our parents from that time went too far, and what would be considered discipline actually borderline abuse. But you can still discipline your child, because the one thing I can tell you over the years as an educator is that I've seen parents rail their kids in, discipline their children, and they started it early so certain physical actions weren't needed. See, because if the earlier you start, the less you got to beat them, because a little pluck on the thigh, on the booty, at 2 or 3 years old for certain things, I'm not saying even that young, but between 4 and 5 will sting just enough to get a kid's attention that you ain't got to go all out with the belt and everything else if need be. Now, it has to be consistent, and there also has to be parameters that are set in anyone's home so the consequences are clear. And I see modern-day parents working within the system. They have not lost their rights at all. They're just being more consistent because the weight of trying to raise a child in this wicked world, and I agree with you there, we have fallen away from a godly way of being. But the reason why I didn't address it that way tonight is only because there's a lot of folks who may not practice the faith that I do, so I want to be consistent in how I offer it to them, and everyone can input or insert whatever they need, is that we still have to be consistent whatever it is. Whether it's living by the word, we got to be consistent in how we live it so then our children are reflections of it. If we're not the religious types, we still have to be consistent with the discipline that we put in place, so this way our children know that there are consequences to their actions. It should have been taught to them at an early age. The thing that I am noticing over the years, what has changed, is that parents have donated their rights and have given them away, and in some cases have even given those rights to the children while still purchasing $100, $500 clothes. You know, these are the things that I have a problem with in terms of, because I don't see the courts are not quick to come in and take your rights away. It takes a while. Because I got some children and parents who are borderline abusive. It takes a while for you to lose your rights. But if you have only known one way of discipline, well, as times change, so does the method of discipline.
I have to agree with you, because what I'm finding, and I see it because I ride the public transportation system here in New York, and I have to encounter thousands of children and in the hour that it takes me to get back, you know, back and forth to work. And what I'm seeing is parents, they haven't lost their right to discipline their children. They're not implementing their right to discipline their children, and they don't want you to say anything for their children's misbehavior. At some point, I've seen young teenagers, older teenagers just out of control, and they're with their parents. And if you say something, the parents tell you to mind your business. Well, if your child is falling all over me and stepping on me and yelling around me, I should have a right to say something, and you should be saying something too. But there are parents that's not even, they're sitting back and not parenting at all. That's what
I'm
seeing.
Thing. But I agree with you as far, I agree with him as far as the consistency and early implementation of discipline, because I did this early and I was consistent. So now I don't need to actually physically discipline my kids. I can just give them that look, and they know automatically, don't even go there, you know. And that's basically, you know, and that's what I'm talking about. But what I'm saying is, I know people personally from dealing with them as far as whether it's the youth group, church, work, whatever the case may be. And it's the problem that they had is they didn't implement it early enough, like you stated. And now they have to deal with the repercussions of every action is a reaction.
Yeah.
Now what's going on is, if they attempt now to discipline their child after not being consistent, now what happens is the child says, "You hit me, I'm going to call the cop." You know, and now even if they go ahead and they try to...
This is the world that we live in. And if you make that decision to have a child, it is that parent has to. It's their responsibility to do that, because, listen, animals are that way. If you let a dog be unbridled until it gets to a certain age, you might as well get rid of the dog and decide trying to train, unless you're going to have the dog whisperer come to your house and do something, because there's not too much that you can really do in some cases. And we have to understand that. I mean, this is the world that we live in. We need to get to our kids early. But one thing that parents can do is they got to start speaking to other parents and start getting associations and help when you started late, once you figured out that you did make a mistake. It's not impossible. It's just more difficult.
Well, here, I have a situation for you, and then I'll step back. I actually had a nephew, and being, like I explained to you, being from that older school, he's 18. I sat down and I spoke to him, because I've been on both sides of the fence, you know, and I explained to him, I said, "Listen, bro, these are the things that can happen if you decide to go through that door. Once you open that door and you cross that threshold, here's what can happen." I explained everything to him. I told him what I went through in my life growing up, you know, and I showed him the signs, the marks and everything. And it looked like it got through to him, but he's in the schools here. I'm actually calling from Florida, and he's in the schools here, and he has that peer pressure. He ended up getting in trouble because he had substances on him that he shouldn't have had. And my thing is, I can get your feedback on it. I spoke to my sister about it, and I was going to say to her, I said to her, "Look, if he decided to do that crime, he's going to have to do some time and take the responsibility." But as a mother, she did come in and bail him out financially and everything else, you know. But I'm just going to sit back, and I want to hear your input on that, and what you feel she should have done as a mother, you know. And after the constant talking from both myself, her, my brother, and everybody else talking to him, and he still ended up doing what he shouldn't have done. So I'm going to sit back and hear your feedback.
Thank you, Dave, because we're about to take another call, but I'll answer what you were saying. I'm a believer in hard love, tough love, whatever you want to call it.
You read in my mind, honey.
Well, that's why we're married, baby. Once a child commits a crime and you didn't have enough adults around say, here's the right thing, here's the right thing, here's the right thing. As an educator, one of the things that I do in the classroom, I know when I've taught health for numerous years, so I've had to deal with some very difficult subjects. There's three types of kids inside the classroom. Kids who have never done it, kids who are thinking about doing it, and kids who have done it. And my message can be the same, but I know that it's going to be perceived in three different ways. The kid who's never done it, my hope is that when they get the message, they don't want to do it. The kid who's thinking about it, I'm hoping that my message scares them enough to not make that step to do it. The kid that's done it, my message is, okay, if you continue, then you're going to have to hold the weight of what you've done. Now, leading to your nephew. With all of you adults, with all the adults around him, speaking to him about what he should have done, and he still made a decision to put himself in a predicament that now may cost him. The decision has to be, if you bail him out, do you honestly believe that he's changed, or did you see something that really touched your spirit to where he got all the fear that he needed from this situation, but we don't want to see him now have to go through the system? If the answer is yes, you bring him home and hopefully things are different. But he might be one of those kids, because of his arrogance, that might need to go through the system early and just feel that pain of what it's going to be like to try to recover from it because of the choice he made. Because it's very difficult to educate back when he's already been out there doing some things that he's not supposed to and feeling that it's okay. And whether he's holding something for somebody, the thing is the fact that he's in proximity to it. And he didn't make the choice to step away from it. So that's what I would say about that. But we have another call, Dave. So I thank you for calling in and definitely appreciate you and hope that you'll tune in every week and support us. We definitely love the question and we love the support, brother.
No problem. No problem. My sentiment is
all right. All right. Do we have the Sequel on the line? Did I say that right? Sequel?
Yeah. Hey, good evening.
Good evening, Sequel. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Just a few things I wanted to say. And how's everybody there? Good.
Hello, everybody. Great, great. Thank you.
Good. I kind of agree with the last caller who was on the line about parents and rights being taken away, because different parents have different experiences. And the system as it is now, they implement punishment on parents at their will. So some parents, they will come off pretty good and get the services they need, but very few. And many parents, like teachers, like principals, are afraid for their position to implement any type of discipline, because teenagers kind of rule. And what you see on the internet, if you go to the internet right now, you will see thousands of videos with teenagers being violent to themselves, violent to others, bullying. And that bullying doesn't stop just within their own circle. That's who they are. Not blaming anyone. The whole system is messed up. So the blame could go to the parents, the system, the school system, the government, everybody. Everybody has to take some of this blame. But if you go there, you're going to see thousands of videos where children and students, even children, are being violent. Just like the one with the school bus driver. And everybody's heart went out to her. That was on the news recently. But at the same time, those children don't stop being violent just to the school bus driver. That's carried over in their communities. That's carried over in the school. And strangely enough,
individuals, we have to, regardless of what the numbers are, as individuals, we can't allow it to happen. I've seen violence in schools, but I've seen some of the smallest people control their class and their environment. The idea that you don't stop. There's going to be folks that are out of control in any environment, in any community. It's been that way since the beginning of time. The key is every individual has to do everything that they can, and it cannot be fearful of repercussions of trying to have discipline in your room, discipline in the classroom, discipline in the school, discipline in your home, because those rights are not taken away arbitrarily. People don't come in and take your rights away. And you don't have to beat your child senseless to get your child to mind if you started and did the things necessary at the beginning. Children are going to make mistakes as children because they're going to test the parameters of any line of discipline that a parent puts in place. But as a parent, you still have the final say, so you still have the control.
You have to set some parameters. There are parents that are just not setting parameters at all. Just Kale and I talk about it a lot, where we have parents that will hand their teenager a $500 phone and say, hey, okay, here's instructions, and go about their business. There's no rule. There's no explanation of how the phone should be used and what sins. Have a discussion. Your phone shouldn't be used to take pictures of your genitals. Your phone shouldn't be used.
I agree with you with, because there are parents, and I don't know if it has to do with parents being younger, the older ones just still being, you know, really senseless. But I agree with you on that part, because there are parents who will check their boyfriend's or their husband's phone and Facebook, but never look into their children's to see what they're doing.
Why does your child have a Facebook in your house that you don't control? See, these are the things I'm talking about. Why does your child have a Facebook that you don't know about? And why is there a password that you don't know? See, the parent controls everything in the house if they pay for it. If the child went out and cut lawn and shoveled snow and did whatever and said, I bought this with my money, okay, then maybe we can talk about it. I ain't say I'm agree to it. But it all starts to, at the very beginning, in the earlier ages, how you actually place these things in place. Children are blank slates. They have attitudes. They have behaviors. Now, what is added to that comes from the parents. It comes from the environment that a parent allows the child to be in. See, if you don't check your child's friends, if you don't ask, why does your friend have a $500 phone, and I noticed that he's always taking pictures, videos, not in here, turn your phone off. Don't turn it on in here. It's the same in my classroom. Don't bring this phone to school. Now, if you need it because your mother says you have to bring it to school, fine. Put it in my closet. You can get it back at the end of the day. So as teachers, as educators, as parents, it starts with consistently from the door. Whatever that door is. I don't care if you walk into a new school. I don't care if you're in a new relationship. How you carry yourself, children will respond to it. These rights cannot be debated. See, you can have a conversation with your kid on, do you want carrots or peas? But you're not going to have a conversation on what time you're going to eat if you're the parent.
But you know what? How do you make parents conscious? Because
you don't have babies if you're not.
And they are unconscious now.
They're young. When they're 2 and 3 years old, how much power do they have?
No, I'm asking about the parents now.
When the child's one, two, three years old, what
she's asking is, how do you make parents conscious? And that's the thing. That's the reason why we're doing this show also, because some parents are oblivious. And it's my belief that parents don't put the controls on their children in most cases because they don't want to put the controls on themselves.
Exactly.
And
parents are really unconscious. You will hear most parents say that, not my child.
You can't argue ignorance. Yeah. If you believe that your child is perfect, or you believe that your child is not involved in things that are out there and you need that wake-up call, it'll come. So either way, you're going to learn. I've dealt with some of these ridiculous parents who believe that their child does nothing. Okay. So the minute that they do, you'll deal with it. Now, if it doesn't happen until they're 15 or 16 years old, well, my prayers are with you, and I hope it's not something that costs them the rest of their lives. Either way, when you have a child, it is your responsibility to learn as much as you can about how to offer that child the best life possible within the means that you have. If you don't do that and your child fails because of it, it's your fault. Because if you allow your child to get to an age of when their consciousness kicks in and they become their independent individual, whether it's 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, whatever, if you haven't done your due diligence up to that point, well, whenever they start to mess up, you will come face to face.
But that's the thing. Is there some initiative that, or some plan that could be set in place? And we need to start thinking about that. Because even myself, I was an unconscious parent on certain things. My child would not do that. And it's way too late once they get to a certain point. And that's what teenagers are out of control. Not just teenagers.
That's what the internet is for. Instead of using it to be on Facebook to put up 1,000 pictures, instead of being on Instagram taking pictures of seafood and the sunrise, you should be on the internet learning the things that you actually either didn't go to school for or was never explained to you, because we have the world at our fingertips. There's no excuses no more. Ignorance is not an acceptable excuse anymore.
Right. It's not an excuse, because it's funny. I posted on Facebook when Kato had the situation in his school with the young lady and the video that was taken of her. I asked, why is it necessary for any teenager to have a phone that has video and pictures? If people actually think about it, the influx of the cell phones for our teenagers began shortly after the terrorist attacks, where all the parents felt, oh, I have to get my child a phone for safety reasons. Well, if you have to get your child a phone for safety reasons, and now your child is now using this phone to show sexual pictures, is your child safe anymore? No. So really, the reality is you did it for one reason, and you're actually fighting against the reason that you did it for. The reality is, no, your child doesn't need a phone that takes pictures and videos if you're getting that phone because you need to know where your child is. You need to be able to call your child to make sure they're at school or they're at the babysitter or that they're at the after-school program. The response I got was, oh, that's crazy. Why can't they have video and pictures? Because they're taking pictures of their genitals and sending it to each other, and it's considered child pornography.
Or taking videos, fighting, or anything else. So it still comes back to the parents. But, Sequel, we're going to move on, and we thank you for calling in and supporting the show. We hope that you tell folks to tune in and support what we do.
And I thank you. All right. And I'm going to keep listening. Good night.
Thank you so much. Reality and Relationships. And we are in this topic is a hot topic because, you know, this covers a lot of things. So, honey, we were talking earlier. You said that we could talk about the young men in Ohio, just to bring that to the table also. And I believe you're talking about the young men who got the young lady drunk, right? Or that she was drunk or that. Could you explain what was going on?
It's still under investigation as far as whether she drank to the point of intoxication or whether she was drugged. Because according to statements I've read, she doesn't remember drinking as much as she did in order to black out. So there might be even a possibility that someone spiked her drink. But basically, it's been in the news. In Steubenville, Ohio, two of the local football players were now convicted of rape. And it's so funny because I was reading a lot of the responses. I love when I read the articles. I like to read the responses of people who read the articles. And I don't know what the age of the person who made the question, but they asked, I don't understand, was she really raped? Because it was being described that she was digitally raped. And what does digital rape mean? That they just took a picture of her or they just took video? So was she even really raped? That's something that parents need to start discussing with their children so that they have an understanding. And I explained to the person that asked the question, in the health field, your fingers are referred to as digits. So it's funny that we have all this technology, but people have no idea of the different terms that are used. So I said, your fingers are referred to as digits. So when they say she was digitally raped, that means one or the both of these young men inserted their fingers in her. And, of course, everybody responded to that. They said, you know, some people didn't have an idea of what digitally rape meant. And, yes, it's still a violation of this young lady. These two young men, 17 and 16 years old, they are now facing prison time where they can be in. I'm sorry?
Weren't they found guilty?
They were found guilty. And they will possibly spend up until they're 21 in jail. And it's an unfortunate circumstance, but they basically sealed their own coffin, not with just taking the pictures and the videos, but then they took those pictures and videos and sent them to their friends, then followed it up with text messages that were just as incriminating. They incriminated themselves. So there was no question of whether this young lady was violated. She was only 16 years old. Whether she was violated or not, because they basically admitted to it through their text messages and the photos that they sent to everyone and made a joke about it, and their friends were making a joke about it. And the sad thing is, speaking of the parents and the adults around them, one of the young men in his correspondence with one of his friends, I want to read what he said about his coach from the football team. Now, whether it's true or not, I mean, I don't know why he would lie about it in a text message to his friend, but I'm going to read what he said.
Well,
coach,
before you
thing,
do that, you know, the coach is facing charges too now, from what I understand, for covering up or something, some of this situation with the with his player.
Really?
Yeah, I just heard that the other day, is that the coach is possibly facing charges because he didn't actually do anything.
Okay, well, let me read to you what was in the article. And this was, I found it so interesting that the article said when they were doing the investigation regarding this situation in Ohio, there were over 61,000 text messages between all the people involved, all the friends, everyone who got the video, pictures. It was just amazing. 61,000. Who has that much time on their hands? The response of one of the young men who was convicted, someone sent him a text message about the coach, and this was his response. I feel he took care of this for us. Like, he was joking about it, so I'm not worried. So basically, he's saying his coach was joking about the circumstances of this young lady. He went on to say, I got Reno. Reno is the name of the coach. He took care of it. And ain't going to happen even if they did take it to court. So he's saying nothing's going to happen even if it got taken to court because the coach handled it. Now, this is the adult that's supposed to be providing guidance to the children of that community. And it basically was getting passed off as a joke because this young lady, whether she chose to drink to that extent where she was blacked out and didn't know what was happening to her, or someone took advantage of her and put something in her drink. But as the adults in that community, the community was completely torn because people didn't even want to talk about it because there were some people that felt, oh, she got what she deserved because she shouldn't have been drinking. And then other people felt she was a victim that unfortunately was possibly have been swept under the rug. It's sad to even think about it.
Yeah. I mean, and I remember we saw the porn star was saying that she comes from that town and says that the men are very biased in how they do things, and that, you know, she was glad that the young lady came out and said something because she says she was raped when she started her porn career years ago and no one did anything, and that she said it's the type of town where people will kind of just let things rock because men are going to be men. And in a lot of these rural towns. Okay, babe.
That was Tracy Lords. And the funny thing is, if I'm not mistaken, Tracy Lords went into the porn industry at 16 years old.
Tracy Lords, at 16 years old, was a super megastar of the porn industry. And then it turned out that a young lady who had made, I think, 30 movies at the time, had actually made these movies between the ages of 15 or 16 and 18. So she was underage. And they had to pull all these movies, and they played a ton of fines. And she tried to recover as a regular actress. It didn't work, and she had been in a couple of films. But she actually did a ridiculous amount of films, and it turns out she was only 16 or 17 years old. And they wound up pulling all the films from the market. But she was actually the queen of porn for a two-year period, and here she was underage. And she believes that her behavior before, the things that happened to her when she was younger, actually opened up the door to that type of abuse. And, you know, to stay on the topic of tonight, when you're looking at the number of text messages, you know, 61,000 seems like a lot of text messages. But if you look at just a regular conversation that you might have when scandal is on, let's keep it real, ladies, because, you know, y'all love scandal, as well as, like, The Walking Dead, you might go through 10, 11, 12, 15, 16, 20, whatever, 30 text messages just from you, which then is maybe another 30 back from the person you talk to. Well, that's 60 right there in less than an hour. You multiply that. Now, you're talking about a teenager who doesn't have a job, who, okay, if they're not in school or if they have time in school when they can get their phone out, but you're talking about that time before school, that time after school, you can go through God knows how many messages. And you're also talking about over a few days since the situation happened with the amount of text messages going back and forth. This is what kids do, and we got that. The key to this is that these fools have themselves on video, have themselves taking pictures, sending the pictures back and forth. Because after a while, it stops being coincidence when it was sent to the people that's cool with you. It was sent to the people that you talk to daily. You got a woman that's being carried like she's dead from one location to another location who has no clue what's going on. Could it be drinking? Yes. I've seen women drink themselves. I've seen men drink themselves to the point. Hell, myself, I've been drunk to where there's pictures with me, my eyes open and I'm smiling. I don't remember taking. And you know, a life long gone, but I can say I've done that. And when I was a teenager, I was just as stupid as some of these teenagers that are in some of these videos, except I didn't take it to that next degree. But I have to admit this, I didn't have the technology at that time, so I can't say that when I was a stupid teen, would I have done some of those things? I have to be honest and say I probably would, because I was an out-of-control teen like a lot of these teens of today. This is what allows me to have a better insight when dealing with the kids that I deal with, because I keep it very real and very honest, and I explain that I was lucky that I didn't get incarcerated, lucky that I didn't get a venereal disease that could have cost me my life, lucky that someone's father or brother didn't track me down and kill me for the way that I live my life. And that's the reason why I wrote my book, From Gigolo to Jesus, so people could actually understand what a life of pornography opened up to me. So pornography was my technology of the choice of that age, which then opened up the door to negative behavior, which then affected me as a teenager going into a young adult. So now, and I used to have to go out to steal a porn to be able to get it, or go to someone's house who had a VCR until I was able to get my own. Now, when you're talking about a powerful computer in the palm of your hand, where now you can access anything, video, everything. And like Sequel said when she called, that there's thousands of videos of kids out there, but what you're looking at is thousands of videos of kids using phones or video equipment to be able to take these videos, and they're high-powered and high-speed videos. We see the ton of videos of kids supposed to be in class, twerking in the lunchroom, doing this, doing that, the fights, the violence. But it's the fact that technology, and there are websites that are promoting it.
Right.
World Hip Hop, Media Takeout. These websites promote this foolishness. And so how do we know that it's having an effect on our kids? Listen to the video. World Star. So the kid, and kids are going as far as setting up assaults so they can put it on World Star, put it on Media Takeout, put it on Facebook, put it on YouTube, so they can gain hits, as if the 17,000 likes means something, or the 2,000 extra Twitter followers that I have means something. So we have started
There are certain websites, I'm not going to say any names, but there are websites that if your particular video gets a certain amount of views, a few thousand, a few hundred thousand, you start to collect sponsor money. So of course our children are going to put this stuff on these websites because they think, oh, I'm going to make money from this.
Well, even different is, take this Sweet Georgia Brown. Come on and act stupid enough, somebody gives you commercial, and now you got everybody posting their page. I ain't got no time for that. So here this woman, who sounded as ignorant can be, has now become a celebrity overnight because her video got so many hits, because she didn't understand the difference between bronchitis or asthma or whatever she was talking about. That in her local town, they even gave her a commercial. And so we see success coming from foolishness. So once kids know this, and now they're trying to set things up, and WorldStar has a separate section for dirty videos or like chicks taking pictures of themselves. And I talk to the kids about those because I pay attention to this because I'm trying to figure out, and this goes to what Sequel was asking, how do we actually help parents with this? That's my job too. As an educator of young folks, it is my job to know what's in those dark corners. So I go into them, eyes open, brain working, to figure how I can counter it. I have discussed Meek Mill's lyrics in the Amen song to try to counter what he's really saying. I discussed the things that Drake and Wayne and Ross are saying. I discussed what Molly's are. I discuss it, and I teach it so hard with the hope that they go home to explain it to their parents. And then I try to make sure that I try to scare kids to death. So I sometimes will bring in pictures that I know are right at the cusp of me maybe getting in trouble. I show them what a venereal disease looks like in a pubic area, and they look like that's what it looks like. When someone says it's going to fall off, that's what it looks like. You see how you couldn't even make out what that is? That's a female's genitalia. You see what that looks like? So I try to shock and awe the kids into not wanting to do it, but that's all one teacher can do. Now, do I pray that my colleagues do the same thing? Of course I do. Do they? No. Do I pray that parents will catch on and say, I see what B is trying to do. Let me pick up the baton and run with it? Of course I do. But do they? No. But I can't stress who doesn't. And it goes back to when Dave called in, and as a Christian, I am always praying. You and I, Tiff, we talk about it all the time. We are always praying that the Lord grants us enough to give to the individuals that we work with the young ladies you work with the young men I work with, and any parent listening, there's never too late to try. And you have not exhausted all means, because at the end of the day, prayer is still one of the most effective, if not the most effective way to get things started. But prayer with pure faith, not praying because you don't think nothing else is out there. You pray because you believe that when your prayers go up, something's going to come down that's going to help. But then right. You got to get up and do something in the morning. Corral your kids. I don't care if you got to do it when they're sleeping. If you're scared of your children, fine. Let them go to sleep and take phones, clothes, everything out. Hide them, do whatever. Now, if they want to fight you for it, get it in. Take back your house. Take back control. You're feeding this child. Now, the law says you got to feed them. The law didn't say what? Yeah, you eating cream of wheat for dinner. Yeah, you eating a veggie stalk. That's it. Here's some water. What you mean, no juice? You go buy it. You got money? That's what I thought. And they walk out that house, lock the door. I didn't kick them out. That child ran away. Let them start having to face some of the world that they're rushing to be a part of. But take control of your home. Own your home. Don't just pay one man rent and let the children live there for free and you acting like a slave in your own house or a hostage in your own house.
Absolutely. Now, I just want to say
more things that's out there. Go ahead, baby.
I just want to say also that we also have to start discussing with our children the consequences of their actions when it comes to the sex thing, because here we see two young men, promising football players, possibly would have received scholarships to go to college, everything, 16 and 17 years old. They will now possibly spend the next 4 to 5 years in jail, which is horrible. And I know just across the water in New Jersey, the New Jersey governor made a law because Gail doesn't agree with me.
Hold that thought.
Okay.
Governor Christie, hold that thought because it says the bottom of the hour. We skipped the break at the top of the hour because I wanted to make sure Dave and Sequel had their time on. Hold that thought because Governor Christie did put something into motion that some states are teetering with deciding, and it's actually been up in the air. And I know you and I think a little bit different on that. So Hold that thought a second. You're listening to Reality and Relationships, man. Yeah, this is an interesting topic, man. You know, it's very serious. And anyone listening, we got a good half an hour. We're going to go hard for this half an hour. Call up a friend. Tell a friend, jump on, listen to us on the computer, or call in to 646-200-3838. Press 1 if you want to talk to the host. You know what? Our friend didn't call in today, but we got to give her a shout-out for her birthday.
Happy birthday, T.
Yeah, happy birthday to T. Good birthday to T. Happy birthday. This is reality relationships. And, you know, we take these things very serious. This is very serious for me because as an educator, I go hard. So I want to hold off on that subject. We're going to deal with it when we come back. We'll be back in two songs. Please don't go anywhere, but if you got to run to the bathroom, go do your thing. Be back here in two songs, and we'll finish this conversation and bring it home. Reality of Relationships.
Raven Publishing, a word play. Poetry, man. Raven Publishing, Burns Blank. Raven Publishing, a 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 Burns Blank.
In the beginning was the word. Have you heard about that wordplay? Purpose is the author and the finisher. You heard me. Wordplay. Word of God refined, yes divine. I be walking through these last days, trying to free my mind. Yes, my mind, mind of right. Gospel plus I heard twice. You be caught up in religion and misled by your device. Turn the light, I see your soul. Plant those seeds so you can grow. Take the war out to the field. God is real, I'm glad you know. Oh. Trumpet heard and sign. Ain't no lying when I'm facing. Facing honestly lie. Holy Spirit make the song cry. That's my wordplay. Man, you're playing with the wrong guy. I'm passing the legacy. God is ahead of me. My pieces in my pieces, fam. Legacy, remember me. A crystal, I'm a senator. A brown with a crown. I'm a pro speaking now. Making words compound. Found my wordplay. What?
We were publishing a wordplay.
Word, have you heard about that word? Black, big dog, little bee.
Wordplay. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that is the promo song about our new book, Wordplay 2, The Foundation of Soul. And the brother that produced that is Brother Damien Faith Walker Brown. And I guess he's going to shoot me for not remembering the other brother's name. I got to apologize. I'll get it.
You have to write it down next time, honey.
Yes, I know. I apologize. But he actually has a brother that worked in the studio. But he is a wizard in the studio, and he worked in all 13 of the poets that are in the book into the song, as well
my
as
my name was in
here
too.
And mentioned 59 in the song. So he worked in 15 individuals into the rhyme. And the one thing that this brother does is he is a master at taking music and creating it. He's a devoted Christian, and he puts faith-based music out there, and he makes Christian hip-hop sound incredible. And I got to get you another one of his songs for next week's show that is definitely on point. And I am so honored not only to be his friend, but to have his words in the book. That is Wordplay 2, The Foundation of Soul, the latest book from Braven Publishing. If you go to our website, www.bravenpublishing.com, you will see the cover. It's right there. You can just go to the bookstore and order the book. Incredible. 13 poets, 12 different subjects that are connected to the soul. And the soul is a part of all of us. So there'll be something there that you can connect to from 10 different states. Let me get them right. North Carolina, South Carolina, Texas, Alabama, New Jersey, Virginia, New York, Massachusetts, Minnesota, and Alabama, if I didn't already say that one. So we made sure that we covered a lot of area with this book. We're proud of this book. And Tiff and I believe that it is one of our best, if not the best. And as independent publishers, we can't survive without your support. So please tell a friend. And it makes for a great gift. Poetry Month is coming up next month in April. Please purchase the book. Tell people to purchase the book, because in doing that, you are supporting us. And in supporting us, it allows us to go out and do more for the individuals that we work with. So we just wanted to put that on the table. Now, before we went to the break, Tiff was about to talk about what Governor Christie put into place with sexting in New Jersey to try to help teenagers who make mistakes. I personally am somewhat against it, but I'll let her explain it first, and then we're going to rock out with this conversation. But before we finish the conversation, I definitely want to end tonight with some solutions. I don't want it to sound like we're just attacking parents. We want to offer some type of solutions to this problem, because we don't want folks to leave tonight without something that they can start tonight in terms of reclaiming their household and helping their children with this technology problem. So, Dave, you were talking about Governor Christie?
Right. With Governor Christie, he basically put into law a plan to prevent our young people from being labeled sexual offenders for the rest of their lives. Because we all know once you have been basically convicted of a sexual offense, you have to register with the registry, the national registry. There are certain jobs that you're no longer allowed to have. And it just affects you all the way around for the rest of your life. So what he did was, and I think about it, do we really want a 13-year-old? Because being a 13-year-old and being immature sent out pictures or sent video that should have been sent out, do we really want to label them a sexual offender for the rest of their lives, where it affects them even being able to make a livelihood for themselves? And my answer to that is no. So what Governor Christie, he's the governor of New Jersey, decided to do was give basically a free get-out-of-jail pass to first-time offenders. So if you are underage, that's under the age of 18, and you, for whatever reason, take a video, and you get caught, they will send you to classes explaining the dangerous part of what you're doing and how it can affect you going forward. They send you to classes. You basically get one free pass. After that, if it happens again, then you'll go to jail. So that is currently in place. There are a lot of other states looking into passing the same laws, and I agree with it. KL doesn't agree with me, but he'll explain why.
Well, see, my problem is I don't know if we give that one pass, I don't know how much the kids are going to learn from it, and I'm thinking more of the victim. So you put me out there. I made a mistake as a teenager, and I exposed my. I got exposed, and I did something stupid. So the boys or the girls that put this out there were able to get a pass, probation, whatever. But
now,
to
actually,
some degree,
the difference. There's a difference. Now,
okay.
If you send a picture of me around, you can still get in trouble. If I send my own picture out. It's different.
I'm sorry. So, okay. Did I get that twisted? So you're saying if a person sends a picture of themselves, they won't be arrested as a child as a sex offender. It's if they send pictures of someone else to someone else.
Right.
And that law doesn't apply to them.
Right. The law only applies if, say, for example, you had a picture of me and I'm naked, I'm underage. And you sent the picture out, then you will go through the program of this training of basically learning why you should.
That's what I'm talking about. But that's what I'm talking about. No, so, okay, I got it. No, that's what I'm talking about. I got a problem with that because how much damage did I do to you? And where's the balance to that I'm in this program? Okay, I swear I'll never do it again. I'm sorry. It wasn't my intention. Don't send me to jail. Don't do this for me. And I'm good. I get a second start, everything's good. But what did you get? Counseling?
We would have to.
And how do we know those videos? Also. And we know videos and photos on the internet don't disappear. We got a mutual friend who did pornography who's changed her life 360. She's nothing like what she did years ago. And those videos are still out there being sold.
Right.
And there's nothing that she can do because basically when she signed the contract, the company kept the rights to them and they refused to remove them even though they've been asked. So here she's on the great things. Her life has changed, doing wonderful things. And these folks refuse to take the videos down even though they're not even selling. So just the promo pictures are still up. And that's my thing is that if you let these kids put this stuff out into the world, someone's life could get ruined, and all they get is counseling and help to try to restart their lives. Or this person gets to go through a program, and let's be real, if the option is jail in the program, yeah, I'm going to take the program, and yeah, I'm going to do everything I'm told in the program. I'm sorry. By 13 or 14 years old, there are some things that should have been told to you that are illegal. And this goes back to what I mean on the parents. If you bought this kid a $500 phone and you let no parameters be set, and he takes the $500 phone and decides to do an in-home porn, and now the police are putting the cuffs on him, you know what? You hold that. You hold that because that's the same as if I put a weapon in his hand. And now I'm shocked that he went out and shot people? No, I can't. And I understand what Governor Christie is trying to do. We're not trying to ruin folks' lives, but I'm sorry. Someone has to be held accountable when you make decisions that could ruin someone else's life. I've had kids come in on safety transfers, and then when I go back and do the research of why they were transferred, I'm like, okay, I understand. Just try to get a fresh start somewhere, and even then, running into somebody who, oh, I heard you did. And the flashback to what we talked about, the earlier story, I have to give that young lady kudos because when you talk about someone who bounced back, who got themselves together despite everything that was done, despite the fact that everyone saw this video, when you're talking about someone that turned their life completely around, this young lady?
That was the young lady from your school.
Yes. Tremendous. And I'm sure she graduated last year. And, no, actually she graduates this year. Take it back. She graduated this year. I'm going to try to figure out how I can get over there for graduation, but there's no telling they're going to let me go like last year. But she got herself so upright and has grown into such a tremendous looking and has a head on her shoulders. Now, my hope and my prayers is that the internal damage is not there to where she's hiding it externally and that when she gets to the next level, which is definitely college, because she's definitely that intelligent, that certain things don't creep back to the forefront and things happen. My prayer is that it's full steam ahead in the positive direction that she's been going, and she's been doing great in school and doing great things. And when I ran into her, when I was in the area, Brooklyn area, that I taught at, one of the first things he said, she reminded me, B, I'm doing good. I'm doing real good. And I always see her girl, too, when I was a young lady, ran in, and the lady and gentleman we ran into that night, where they were like, B, how come you ain't coming back to the school? But the good thing about that is I've seen kids turn around. Now, talk about the solutions. Well, you know what? we have a caller. So you know what? Before we end things, we have the birthday girl on the line. Hey, Sydney.
Hello.
Hey,
happy birthday.
I'm celebrating your birthday.
Thank you, guys. Yeah. I had to call in and show some love, huh?
I said, you're going to miss your first show? You've been with us every show.
I know. I had to run out real quick, and I said, uh-oh. And I didn't, where I went, you know, I wouldn't have been able to talk, so I just want to call in and show some love, as always.
Thank you, love. Thank you. How did you enjoy your birthday?
It was blessed. You guys missed it last night. I'm going to put it that way.
We had to do an interview last night. But we were actually on the air at the same time you were on, so it was going to be hard for us to try to call in.
Wow. Yeah, but it was beautiful. It was beautiful.
Excellent.
I said, I tell anybody, I couldn't have gotten nothing. Just seeing another year was a blessing. That was my birthday
Amen.
Gift.
Amen.
Wow. That was
so
my birthday gift.
Have you had a chance to listen in to what we've been talking about tonight?
No, I just called in a few minutes ago, but I was hearing about, you know, the Governor Christie and all of that. Because, and when you mentioned that, were you talking about the kid that had the picture was on Facebook with the kid with the gun, 11 years old?
No. I know which one you're talking about. That's actually in the town that I used to live in Carneys Point, New Jersey. I used to live in that town in South Jersey. The kid was on Facebook with a rifle, but he has a license. He went through training, everything. They do a lot of hunting down in South Jersey because I'm from that area.
Uh-huh.
And so people saw the picture of the 11-year-old on Facebook, wild out, called in New Jersey. And when the police investigated, the father said it was just him holding his birthday gift. It's not no Sandy Hook situation where the kid is going to go out and shoot anything. And then upon further investigation, they found that there was no charges that needed to be laid and that the kid had training with the weapon. He had a license to hunt. And like I said, I'm from the Carneys Point area. Tip and I go down on the regular. We have family there. And I'm a graduate from Pensgrove High School. Shout out to Pensgrove High School in South Jersey. So I'm from that area. And a lot of those kids, white and black, go hunting. They shoot deer. They shoot muskrats. They go out and do whatever. But you do have to get a license. You do have to get some training. And they did it. It's just that the kid put a picture on Facebook, like kids do, and someone called the police. Actually, I'm glad that someone took the initiative to call the police. I'm glad that someone investigated it, and I'm glad that the kid had the proper paperwork.
Right.
But what we were talking about tonight was the use of technology and out-of-control kids and how kids are sexually and how kids are doing things sexually on videos, placing them on the Internet, and putting them out there in social networks and getting themselves in trouble, because I once dealt with this situation directly as a high school dean and almost got myself in trouble just trying to do the right thing to protect the young lady that I was teaching with. So we've been talking about it all night, and it's actually been pretty good. But you can hang out with us on the phone a second, because what we're going to do right now is, with the last couple of minutes before the show ends, and if we run a little bit over, you know, I think the people behind the scenes might let us, but I'm not going to try to tonight. We did that last week. Is that I want to say this to parents as an educator, and I want you to listen. If you have not roped your kids in to where you have supreme control in your house, you will not be able to do it overnight. You will not be able to wake up tomorrow and be the supreme ruler of your house, because your children are going to resist what they don't understand or what they don't like, because you have given them the option of not being in line up until whatever age, whether it's 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And if it's a teenager, you're going to have a fight on your hands. But either way, if you pay the rent, if you buy the clothes, if you supply the basic needs of that child, you have the say-so. I don't care if you got to go in the mirror and hype yourself up like Rocky did before he fought the big Russian or before he fought Mr. T. You do whatever you have to do. I don't care if you got to get on your knees, throw yourself on the floor, and lay out in front of God himself to grant you the strength to deal with this child. Is that child going to rebel? Yes. Is that child going to cry? Yes. Is that child going to try to use emotional blackmail? You the worst parent. Y'all the worst parents. You the worst stepmom. You the worst grandma. You the worst foster parent. I'm calling and saying you beat me. I'm calling and saying you touching me. Whatever. Hold your ground. Do it daily. Set your rules in place. Tell, not ask. Tell your child what will be acceptable, what will not be acceptable. If you see one of your child's friends is a little weird and you don't really like where they're coming from and there's a vibe that you're getting, that child is no longer allowed in your house. Your child will be in the house at a certain time. And when they don't, that's the key. You say, well, what's the consequence? Start taking things away. If you ain't got the energy to tear that behind up, fine. Start taking things away. Go in their room and start taking things other than some books to read. And why is the computer and TV in the room to begin with? Control the home. Then go to school. Contact the parent coordinator. Contact the dean and contact the principal and assistant principal. Ask for support. Say, this is what I'm doing at home. I need assistance from you here at school. I want a conduct sheet or some type of ongoing information of what is going on in the classroom. I need some constant dialogue to make sure that my child is in class on time and doing the things that needs to be done, because that's what I'm doing at home. I know I didn't do it before, but I want to get this under control because my child will not be a statistic. It is not going to be easy, but nothing worth doing is easy. But hold your ground. Pray often and understand that the Lord gave you dominion over your children, but you don't have to rule with an iron fist, but you got to rule tough. You got to beat them to death. You ain't got to beat them till they pass out. But you do have to control your home. And if you don't have control of self, well, then you better start looking on the internet for some support groups. You better start going to church and start getting next to some folks who's getting it done. You better start doing the things that you need to empower yourself so you can then pass it on to your child. Because with today's technology, it only takes one drink, one smoke, one popping of one of these crazy pills that are out there, and somebody's going to do some strange things to your child and possibly put it on video to where that video is out there forever.
Yes.
Your child can be labeled, possibly labeled, and where that video could resurface when they start to do anything politically, anything entertainment-wise, anything in their future adult life. Hey, weren't you the little girl that Tracy Lords, they still bring up, weren't you the porn star? And we're talking 20 years ago. Understand, parents, it is your responsibility once you made the commitment to having. If you didn't make a commitment to having, it was an accident, you're still responsible. So what we have to do as a community, shows like this, other shows, other magazines, whatever, there's enough information out there. You need to contact me. info@bravenpublishing.com. Send me your questions. Author K.L. Belvin on Facebook. Author K.L. Belvin on Twitter. Send me your questions and I'll do the best I can to help you. I'll do the best I can to support you. There's no more excuses, and failure is not an option. Because if you fail your children, you failed the world. Because you brought the child into the world.
Amen.
So what we have to do now, when we're coming up on 10 o'clock, we can't solve the world's problems in 2 hours. But what we can do is start chipping away at it. And what Tiff and I do every Thursday, we sit down and think about everything that we're going to talk about each week, because we're serious about trying to change the world through our relationship, through our company, through what we have with each other. But we need your support in every form or fashion. If you like the show tonight, tell at least 2 people to tune in next week and then tell them to do the same. If you like the way what you heard tonight, go to our website and check out the products that we produce. Purchase them so we can continue to do the things, because we also go speak in public. We also speak at churches, organizations. Tiff is working with a mentor group that meets for young ladies. I run a mentor group for young men on Saturdays. We work 6 days a week sometimes, and that's not even including what we do at home. But we're willing to do that if we can get the support that's needed to continue. So if you're not sure what to do, then put it in our hands and let us, because we know what we're doing or trying to do. But we need your support, your spiritual support, your financial support, your moral support. And if you just want to come help us wash clothes, we'll take that too. But either way, we got to start. When we used to hear it takes a community to raise a child, okay, we heard that. But now we've gotten to the point that we don't even want to come out our doors and be humble enough to say we need help. Come on. Everybody knows your child's the wildest kid on the block, and you acting like your child ain't did nothing wrong. Come on, man. Look in the mirror. I'm a dean. I don't call your house just because I want to talk to you. I got a wife I can talk to. And I'm calling your house because me and you got something to talk about. When I'm telling your child suspended, I'm not calling the same suspended because I just don't like the way your child looks. I don't like the way your child walk. No. I'm calling you because your child struck another child. Your child is in here taking video. Your child is in here taking pictures of his penis in the bathroom. Hell, I had a child bring a snake to school, a live snake. And when I asked him why, he said, it's my pet. So why didn't you leave your pet at home? I wanted to show my friends. Okay, is it poisonous? I don't know. Where'd you put the snake? At the pet store. I don't know. I'm on the internet looking to make sure the snake not poisonous. So work with the folks who are in place to help you. That's where you start. Start in your home, and then start at your school, and then work your way out to your community. Just do that. Don't worry about the world. Take care of what's in your circle, and watch how this world changes. So T, Tiffany, let's close this out the right way. T, what you want to tell everybody? Tell them about your show, T. Tell them about where they can find you, and we'll work our way around to Tiff, and then we'll close it out the right way.
Okay, every Wednesday from 7 to 9, you can tune in with Love Fantasy with the Diva Squad, where we have grown and sexy topics and the best slow jams, old and new.
There you go, Tiff.
And, immediately following us will be a new show next week, so make sure you tune in to Fallout Comedy.
Nice. And that's on a Wednesday night?
Yes. That's immediately after Love Fantasy. It'll be from 9 to 10.
Excellent. So yes. There it is. EQ Palace Radio, guys. We're giving it to you every day but Saturday. Something for everybody. Please make sure. Just go to Blog Talk Radio. Put in GQ Palace Radio, and you will see all of the shows. You can even put in reminders so you can get an email to tell you when to watch. No excuses. Stop playing.
Exactly.
All right. Tiff?
I just want to say tonight's topic was definitely worth discussing because as parents, we need to start reevaluating the message that we're sending to our children when we hand them their cell phones, when we allow them to have access to the internet and all the things that can come to them with having access. We need to protect our children, and this is what this is about. Not just protecting the young ladies like the young girl in Ohio who was raped, but also protecting the ones who don't think before they send these photos out, before they send these videos out, before they do something so atrocious. We need to start speaking to them and saying, this is not acceptable, and this is not what this is used for. We're not using our phones and our computers to send pictures of ourselves that can possibly end up anywhere and get us into a whole lot of trouble that we don't need. So parents, no more excuses. Start taking control. Today is the first day that we need to start taking control.
You know Tiff is serious because she normally give you the Russell Simmons goodbye and goodnight. So she wasn't playing and she had an explanation at night. So y'all better stop playing because Tiff is taking it serious. I'm going to co-sign with my wife. I'm simply going to say I love children. It's why I committed myself to teaching. I have committed my life to protecting kids and trying to engage them intellectually so they can grow into future adults who can help save this planet. I know I'm not going to be here forever, but I'm trying to make sure my legacy is such that when a child says they've been in my presence or in my classroom, they got something. And I'm seeing some of that fruit. But all I can ask, and I'm going to say it again, I ask anyone listening, please support what Tiff and I are doing. Please go by our website, support the books that we produce. And if I didn't tell you, the Wordplay 2, Foundation of the Soul, has no profanity in it. We created it that way because we wanted the poetry book to be able to be shared with as many people as possible, every family member. And we are a faith-based company, a faith-based couple, and we do everything that we can to promote who we are as a couple through what we produce. So we don't put out works that are opposite our faith in terms of nasty and erotic stuff. Not that some people like that. We just don't do it. Because I want to know that my kids can go out there and see the stuff that I produce and say, my teacher did that. And when they found out that I wrote books, you should see the way their eyes light up. Now, my hope is that they'll go out and write books and then share that same thing with someone else. We can change this if we commit to it. Well, Tip and I are committed, and we need your support to do the things that we do. This has been Reality and Relationships. We're here every Thursday from 8 to 10, God willing. We want you to have a wonderful night. Please tune in next week. God bless.
God bless.
You know I love you, right? Love you too. Ain't nobody got what we got.
No, no. What I mean with my baby.
Yes. Stand up from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
Love to you.
Put you on a rocket flight. Keep on loving till we touch the sky.